We're going to have our Bible reading now. Now, boys and girls, it should appear on the screen up here behind me. Now, we're actually going to have quite a long reading today. The person who very kindly puts the PowerPoint together for us had lots of slides to put in there today, okay? But we're going to be reading the Bible from two places today. We're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 1, grown-ups, which you'll find on page 965. And then if you could put a finger in Ruth chapter 4, which you'll find on page 269. If you don't have a Bible, one of the grown-ups doesn't have a Bible, please put a hand in the air and some of our team are poised to bring you one. Now, boys and girls, the first Bible reading we're going to have is going to be quite tricky to listen to, okay, because it's a long list of names. Now, we looked at this together as grown-ups, and most of them will be sitting there now thinking, oh no, we're not having that again, are we? But it's really important. Lists of names are not boring in the Bible. They may appear boring, but they're not boring because they tell us good things. So we're going to read the list of names, and then we're going to pluck out one of those names, and we're going to read the tail end of the story of one of those names. So, see it behind me? Here we go. Matthew chapter 1. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Ammon. Ammon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah. And his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, Abiud the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Akim, Akim the father of Eliad, Eliad the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. That's Jesus. Good listening. Now we're going to go, pick one of those names out, we're going to go all the way back in the Bible to a book of the Bible called Ruth. And we're just going to read Ruth chapter 4, which is the end of their story. Now that will appear behind me as well, but you can do good listening because it's an interesting story. So Ruth chapter 4. Page 269 in your Bibles. Meanwhile, Boaz, we read that name, didn't we? Do you remember that name in the list? Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here." And they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so that I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day that you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth, the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead and with his property." At this, the kinsman redeemer said, "Oh, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself." And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have brought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, Mahlon's wife, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and all those at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The woman living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. Do you recognize that name? That was in the list as well, wasn't it? He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This, then, is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of, you say it together, David. Good stuff. Right, boys and girls, I want you to kind of be looking this way. Everything you need's up here. Grown-ups, can I suggest that you start in Matthew's gospel, and we're going to jump over to Ruth a bit later, so keep your fingers in both of those. But boys and girls, I got a question for you as we start this morning. I just need to find my clicker. If you could belong to any family in the world, with the proviso you can take your family with you, okay? If you could belong to any family in the world, which family would you want to belong to? The Skirms. That's good. That's our close family friends. Oh, that cuts to the heart. No, I'm kidding. How about, okay, here's a family for you. Would you like to belong to the Grant family? Who would like to belong? Anyone want to belong to the Grant family? Maybe I should tell you, so you want to belong to the Grant family. You've made a good choice. Can I tell you why you might want to belong to the Grant family? Because they're a Christian family who own 124 toy shops in England. Can you imagine being part of that family where you could just go into any toy shop, find the latest toys, just give them a quick play, put them back on the shelf, and then go back to your house? That would be cool, wouldn't it? That's a good family to belong to. What about the royal family? Oh, yeah. See, now there's some hands going up. Even some grown-ups as well. Look at that. We would love, perhaps, to become part of the royal family. We can wander around the palace, just kind of wander in where we like, you know. Just say hi to the queen. Hi. It's me, Nathan. We'd love that, wouldn't we? If we could become part of the royal family. But listen, I've got some even better news for you guys this morning, for everyone here. Actually, the Bible tells us that it's possible for us to belong to the best family in the world. It's the Bible calls the blessed family in the world. It is God's family. It is God's royal family. Even though all of us in this room belong to a physical family, Jesus makes it possible for all of us to belong to God's royal family. And that's the family that we read about this morning in Matthew chapter 1. This long list of names. That's Jesus's family. God's royal family. Now, who knows what a family tree is? Because that's what we read this morning. Who knows what a family tree is? Could you describe a family tree? How could you describe a family tree? That is good knowledge, my friend. Most of you probably didn't hear that. He said you kind of put yourself in the middle of the family tree, and then you put all those who belong into your family around you, perhaps going back a long, long way. I was speaking to someone this week, And someone thought a family tree was a tree that belonged to your family. So we have just moved house and we have a tree in our garden, and that becomes our family tree. But that's not what a family tree is. A family tree is something that records who's in your family, and it goes back a long, long way. So let me give you an example, okay? Because a family tree can tell you a lot about who you are. So look, here's a little picture of a little boy, okay? Some of you will know who that little boy is, but some of you won't, okay? This boy is called George. Now, George has a family tree, and George's family tree tells us a lot about who George is, okay? So let's have a look at George's family tree. He has a mum and a dad. Does anyone know who that is?
Yeah.
Who is that?
That's the Duchess.
Yeah. Yeah. And William. That's right. So this is William and Kate. And William is a prince. So let's go back a bit further. You see, they have a mum and a dad as well. So William has a mum and a dad, Charles and Diana. And Charles and Diana have a mum and dad, and that is the Queen and Prince Philip. So you see, if we go back to this little boy, what does his family tree tell us about this little boy, George? It tells us that he is a royal son. He's a prince. He's not just any boy. He may look like a normal boy running around his nursery. You know, if you were in nursery with him, you'd say, "Hey, George." And he'd be like, "Hi, mate. How's it going?" But he's a royal son because his parents are royal and their parents are royal. And then their great-great-grandma's the queen. How cool is that? See, a family tree says a lot about who you are. And can I tell you this morning that it's no different when it comes to Jesus? So that's what we read about in Matthew chapter 1. Now, I've got Jesus' family tree over here, okay? Now, I'd get told off by the church office if I tried to print all the names on that tree, okay? So you just have to work with me, all right? We're going to have a few names. But let's say this is Jesus' family tree. Let's put that up here. Now, let's see if he stays up. Jesus had lots of names that we read about that belong to his family that teach us about who he is. So we read some names. Here's one. Can you say that one with me? Isaac. There you go. What about this one? A lady called Rahab. Now, this one, we know this one, don't we? This is a famous king in the Bible, a king called David. What about this one? Abraham. Lots of names in his family tree that we recognize. What about this one? Ruth. That's the name we've just been reading about. What about this one? Judah. We'll put that one. Oh, have I got enough stickers? There we go. And what about this one? That's a great name, by the way. If you're ever looking for a new name, I recommend Zadok. There we go. Zadok. But this is Jesus' family tree. And as we look at all these names in the family tree, do you know what? It teaches us something really, really important about Jesus. And this is what it teaches us. Grown-ups, we learned this together last week. So this is a summary for you. So if you fell asleep last week, this is a good recap. Here it is. Jesus is the man at the center of God's family plan. Okay, can we say that together? Jesus is the man at the center of God's family plan. That's what this family tree tells us about Jesus. As we go through all these names, it teaches us that Jesus is at the heart of God's plan to gather together a great big family who belong to him. That's what we were learning last week as grown-ups. Now, what I want to do today is show you that every single name that appears in this family tree has something to teach us about what I want to call today God's great big Jesus plan. Okay, so we're going to learn this together. So we're going to go God's great big Jesus plan. Can you do that with me one more time? God's great big Jesus plan. That's what this whole big plan is about. And every single name on this tree teaches us something about that plan that God has using Jesus. And so what we're going to do today is we're just going to pick one name from the family tree. And then maybe in the kids' talk next week, we'll pick another name. But this week, we're just going to have a think about this person, Ruth. Because although Ruth lived hundreds of years before Jesus was around, her story has something to teach us about the Jesus story, about what Jesus came into the world to do. Now, I need to tell you about Ruth. Where is my picture of Ruth? I'm not sure if she did look like this, but let me just show you Ruth. Now, actually, before I show you Ruth, I need to tell you two things, okay? Very quickly. Sorry, I was a bit lost for a second. Okay, we're going to tell you about Ruth. Now, to help us understand what the Ruth story teaches about the Jesus story, I've got two words for you this morning, okay? Let me find them. They're over here. Are you ready? Two words. It's the first one, belong. Can we say that together?
Belong.
Second one, useful. So let me put these up. So what's the first word?
Belong.
Second word?
Useful.
Okay, let's just have it in half over here. First word?
Belong.
Second word?
Useful.
Now you're the first word. Ready? First word? Fantastic. Good, you're on this morning. This is exciting. So, two words that teach us about the Ruth story teaches us about the Jesus story, okay? So now, I'm going to introduce you to Ruth. Here she is. I need to tell you something about Ruth. Now, Ruth wasn't part of God's family, okay? Ruth belonged to another family over here. Now, these guys are called the Meany Moabites. Can you give me your meanest face? Can you give me that? That's pretty mean. They've got some mean faces. Grown-ups, don't try too hard. Your mean face. Now, she belonged to this family called the Meany Moabites. Now, the Moabites were not very nice people. The Moabites, they didn't love God. And they did not love God's people. So when God rescued his people out of Egypt and they came through the Red Sea, the Moabites refused to help them. They refused to give them bread to eat, and their bellies were rumbling. And it's okay, we've got a loaf of bread over there. Their bellies were rumbling, and they refused to help. And Ruth belonged to this family. She belonged to the Meany Moabites. They didn't love God, and they didn't love God's people. And so much so, they were so mean that God said to his family, the best family in the world, he said to them, actually, the Moabites aren't allowed anywhere near this family. They had to stay away. Grown-ups, if you're interested in this kind of thing, you read about that in Deuteronomy 23. The Moabites had to stay away. When God's family got together and they had kind of what you might call a big family party, when they got together with God and they loved God and they worshiped God, the Moabites had to stay away. So what does that mean about Ruth? Well, Ruth, the Moabite, was someone who wasn't part of God's family, and really she wasn't allowed anywhere near God's family because she belonged to the Meany Moabites. Can you give me the Meany Moabites? Ooh, the Meany Moabites. But you see, after a long and very sad story, God did something amazing in the life of Ruth. Which teaches us something about Jesus, actually. God took Ruth from the Moabites, and he made her to belong to his family. Can you say this word with me? Belong. He took her from this rotten, meany family, and after a long time, he made it possible for Ruth to belong to his blessed family, his best family. And he did it using a man named Boaz. Can you say Boaz?
Boaz?
That's another cool name, by the way, if you're looking for names. Boaz. Now, Boaz, we're told in our reading today, was a redeemer. Can you say that word with me? Redeemer. Now, we don't use that word very much, other than in church, really. But it means that Boaz was the one who bought Ruth. He purchased her. He paid a price. And that meant that Ruth could move from being part of the Meany Moabites and could become part of God's blessed family. Now, let me think about this word redeemed with you, okay, for a moment, because that's a big word. And I want to teach you what I mean. It's a big Bible word. I want you to imagine that you go to your favorite sweet shop, okay? Imagine for a moment. I can see you imagining. Some of you are dribbling, okay? So we're off to the favorite sweet shop. You walk in. And there is just shelves and shelves of your favorite sweets, but they don't belong to you. And you look at them and you think, I long to have some of those sweets. They belong to the shop. They belong to the shopkeeper. But then you get out your pocket money and you take your pocket money up to the till and you say, I'd like this one. And you pay your money. And then what happens to those sweets? They belong to you. Mine. No, you shouldn't say it like that. They're my sweets. They belong to you. Why? Because you've redeemed them. You've paid a price and they now belong to you. And in the story we read, we saw that this man Boaz, now there's a long story behind it, but this man Boaz was a redeemer. He paid a price and he got Ruth. And God used this redeemer, Boaz, to take this meanie Moabite from her family and bring her, and she then belonged to God's special family. That's what a redeemer does. Now, this little story has a lot to teach us about God's, can you say this one with me? God's great big Jesus plan. Let me tell you why. Because like Ruth, all of us in this room, actually, when we're born, we don't belong to God's family. We belong to what we could call the meanie Moabites. We, because of our sin, we belong to a family that basically has to stay away from God and stay away from God's family. Like Ruth, we weren't allowed anywhere near God's family. But God, in his kindness, gave us a, can you say this? Redeemer. Jesus came, and the man at the center of God's family plan, he came as a redeemer so that he could redeem people like us and move us from this meanie, sin-filled family where we can't go anywhere near God. And he brought us to belong to his family. That's what Jesus did. But Jesus didn't pay with money. Jesus paid with his life. The Bible tells us that at the cross, Jesus was redeeming people like us, full of sin. And he was redeeming us so that we could belong to God's blessed family. That's what Jesus was doing at the cross. He was purchasing people with his life so that we could belong. Can you say this word with me? We could belong to God's family. Now, here's the thing. Can you tune up your brains? Because I want you to think about something for a moment. What kind of people does Jesus redeem into his family? Do you think it's just the nice people? Do you think it's just the people who are well-behaved at school? Do you think it's just people who've grown up going to church? Can I tell you something really exciting about this story of Ruth? It teaches us that Jesus redeems anyone from anywhere so that they can belong to God's family. And what that means this morning is that there is no one, no friend, no family member, no person from a nation that Jesus is not willing to take and redeem so that they can belong to his family. Jesus takes people from anywhere and any type of person so that they can, you say this with me, belong to his family. That's exciting news, isn't it? And can I ask you guys a question this morning? I'm going to ask grown-ups this question as well, but boys and girls, can I ask you, what family do you belong to? Now, I know you could say, well, I belong to the Howard family. I know you can say that. But can you say this morning that I belong to God's family? The blessed family, the best family on earth, the family that lasts forever. You can say that you can belong to that family if you put your trust in Jesus and say, Jesus, please redeem me so that I move from belonging to this meanie family of sin and I belong to the blessed family. So here's our first word. Can you say it with me? 1, 2, 3. Belong. That's what this story teaches us. It teaches us that Jesus came so that we could belong to God's blessed family. But we need to think about the second word. What's the second word? Useful. Now, you didn't sound very convinced about that. Right, let's just have the boys and girls, okay? Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Useful.
Okay, now let's just have the grown-ups. 1, 2, 3.
Useful.
This is the second thing that the Ruth story teaches us about God's great big Jesus plan. Now, when I was growing up, my mum used to say to me like this, Nathan, will you just make yourself useful? That's what she used to say to me. I don't know what she was talking about, but you know, I thought I was quite useful. But she said to me, Nathan, will you make yourself useful? And what she means by that is, Nathan, go and do some jobs. Go and tidy up your bedroom. Go and do some washing up. Go and do something helpful. Make yourself useful. But I want to show you that this story of Ruth shows us that Jesus takes unexpected people and he makes them useful in his plan to bring people into his family. That's exactly what he did for Ruth. You see, Ruth became a mum. Do you remember that? We read that. And then she became a grandma. And then she became a great-grandma to somebody famous called, what's this guy? King David. King David. And King David was a great king in this family tree. God used King David to look after the family. He was a king who was fair, and he fought the enemies. So you've heard of the story of Goliath, the big giant, and David comes in, and he knocks down the enemy because he was a great king looking after God's blessed family. But here's the thing. God used Ruth. A meanie Moabite. Can you give me a mean face? Ooh. A meanie Moabite who had to stay away from God's family, but he takes her and he brings her into the family, and then he uses her to do something special. She becomes the grandma, great-grandma of King David. But that means something even more exciting. That means Ruth, this meanie Moabite, full of kind of sin and meant to stay away, God used Ruth to become the great, 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 great grandma of who? Say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Jesus. God can take Ruth and use her as part of his great big Jesus plan. Isn't that amazing? Now, what does that mean? What does the Ruth story then teach us today? Well, I want to say this. It's very simple. If God can use Ruth as part of his great big Jesus plan, then God can use you. And he can use you, and he can use you, and he can use you, and he can use you. Because Jesus can use anyone from anywhere as part of his plan to gather people into his family. And you might be sitting there this morning thinking, he can't use me, I'm only 5. He can't use me, I'm only 6 or 7. And some of you are sitting there thinking, oh, he can't use me, I'm far too old for this kind of thing. But Jesus can use anyone from anywhere. And that's exactly what he loves to do. You know, Jesus takes people who are outside of the family of God and he redeems them so they belong. Can you say this with me? They belong. 1, 2, 3. They belong. And then he makes them useful. And one of the ways that he particularly loves to use his family is that we might go and tell other people about the Redeemer who brings people to belong to the family. And that includes you. So 2 words. Can you say them with me one more time? Belong and useful. Let me come back to where we started. Okay, you were listening, boys and girls, give me just 30 more seconds, okay? Let me ask you. What family would you most want to belong to? Grown-ups, what family would you most want to belong to? My hope is that actually you will leave here this morning saying the family that I most want to belong to is the blessed family, the best family on earth, Jesus's family. That's the family I want to belong to. And the good news is that you can. You can by saying to Jesus, Jesus, please redeem me and make me belong to your family. And then, please make me useful in your great big Jesus plan. Should we pray together? Let's do that. Father, we thank you so much for this family tree of Jesus that shows us that he is the man at the center of your plan to build your royal family. We thank you that Jesus has done everything needed at the cross so that we could belong to his family. And we thank you that Jesus can use even people like us to bring others into that family too. Father, please use us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.